Today, I will preach under the title, For the Final Victory. What are the goals of your life? And what is your final goal? Is it to live a rich and abundant life? To have a happy family? Give birth to adorable children and live happily with your spouse? Is it to live a long, healthy life and face the final moment in comfort? And you face the final moment without diseases? And face death. You don't have such hope. You don't have hope in such things. It's not that special hope. It's merely to have beautiful children, to have a good spouse, not to have diseases. It's just a ordinary and normal life. But as we look around and see how worldly people live, and especially students, if you look at the lives of your students or classmates, there are not many people who live with such normal or ordinary happiness in their lives. Because to obtain such hope and joy in life is not possible on our own, on one's own. To live a spouse, to fulfill our hope cannot be done on our own. Although it's not just great or a grandiose dream or hope, it's not easy to fulfill them. To live a life itself, it's stressful. So especially students, as you study, you experience a lot of stress. You also have trouble with in relationship with your friends. And, adults tell students, it's good to be a student. What a good life. But students, they live under stress. We say stress is the origin of diseases, but it's impossible to live without any stress. To live a world itself is stress. Like to obtain a good job, to get a good job, to earn a living. It is also very difficult to find a job that fits your aptitude or taste. Most of the employees or workers, but to fulfill your dream, you have to find a job that fits exactly your aptitude. People have such hope, but it is not easy to find a spouse and to live a happy life is not easy as well. Even though they look happy, we never know what's inside their heart. We never know whether they have greed, they have evil in their heart. So it's really difficult to have a good relationship out in the world. And to live a happy life, it requires us to have enough money. If you have much money, you have also concerns of all your money being stolen or robbed. Moreover, in this world where it is filled with diseases or accidents, it is hard to live without diseases or accidents. And to have a happy life, we should also have no one in our family who have diseases or illnesses. Many of you devotees are not married, and to have a happy life, none of your family members should have diseases or trouble. And to maintain a healthy life, you have to work out well and have exercise, but it does not guarantee your health. So I have to say that it is not easy to live a happy life out in the world. Some of you may say, some of the worldly people may say, I've fulfilled my hope. But even if they some of them enjoy a joyful and happy life in which they don't lack anything. But what happens after their life is over? Even though they've lived a good life, devoted themselves for their family, and lived a diligent life, unless they accepted the Lord and lived in light, they will end up in hell and eternal torment. Even Christians who attend the church, if they don't live by the word, it's hard for them to be saved as well. If they, even while they attend church, if they befriend the world, even though they don't seek their greed or they don't do damage to others, unless they truly live in the truth, it may be hard for them to be saved. Even if they do, even if they are saved, they will be living in heaven without any rewards. I've talked about the hope of the worldly people. I've talked about the hope of the people without faith. I'm talking about small or ordinary or small hope, but it's not even easy for worldly people or people without faith to fulfill such small or trivial hope. But what about you, Mamin students and young adults? What is your ultimate or final goal? You fix your ultimate hope and final goal on the everlasting heaven, specifically on New Jerusalem, which is the most beautiful place in heaven. So while people go out to beaches or go hiking in the mountains, because we have reduced laboring hours, worldly people go out to beaches or go hiking. They hang out in... This is how worldly people live nowadays. This is how they spend the weekends. But you came here to worship God. You've attended the Sunday morning service, and now you are attending the Sunday evening service, and you are longing to hear Father God's message. So how blessed you are. During the weekdays, even on the weekdays, you work hard all day, and then you come to church to attend Daniel prayer meeting to wrap up your day. After you wrap up your day like this, you'll feel satisfied. But if you work hard all day and thus also out of your hard-earned money, you offer tithes, thanksgiving offerings, or devotion offerings to solve for the kingdom of God. Even we live like this, we overflow with joy and happiness because we have true life. One of the Cana Mission women came and shared her testimony. She was transferring to another workplace, and in her previous workplace, things didn't work out well, so she notified her boss that she would transfer to another workplace, and her boss refused to give her the retirement fee. So she requested my prayer. This happened a month ago. I prayed. So after some time, before last Friday, all night service, she came to share her testimony, and she confessed that she's received the retirement fee from her previous workplace, and she would give them money. She didn't come to tell me to buy good stuff, but instead she told me that she would offer that money to God as devotional offering. So it brings her great benefit because she piles up heavenly rewards. So we have such hope and faith. But from worldly people's viewpoint, you would look stupid or out of the ordinary because you come to church. you know, if you search on the internet, you can find many good recipes and many fancy restaurants. There are many advertisements popping up. There are many good things to see out in the world, and you can find many things that... But you come here on Sunday and have just a bowl of noodle, and you are clothed in white clothes, and prepare yourselves for this devotional offering, and you have to save up to offer devotional offering. So this would look stupid or awkward from worldly people's point of view. Even believers who don't have true faith and hope would think of us as odd or pitiful. They would think of Mamnae members as pitiful because we don't drink or enjoy ourselves, indulge in drinking or eating, while they go out or hang out in and entertain, enjoy themselves. We have to come to church. So we also have to offer to God as much as we can, and then we feel satisfied. We feel joyful. Father God fills our heart with joy. Only those who have done this can share this joy, and Father God keeps giving us blessings. We have good health. Father God also bless us to become the head, not the tail. But worldly people do not know this. Or even believers who don't have true faith, the churchgoers, they may not understand us. Instead, they may think of us as odd or strange or stupid. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But we are not pitiful ones, but we are blessed, wise, happy, and glorious ones. Without afterlife, we shouldn't live like this. We can just enjoy ourselves, indulging in a devotional life. But because we have afterlife, we come here to please God and show our love, express our love to Father God. So we are not pitiful, but we are blessed. We are wise. We are truly wise. Also, we are happy. And we are indeed glorious ones. It's because there surely exists the afterlife, and God, who is the creator of heaven, pays us back according to what we've done on earth. Moreover, with firm faith that we will enter the glorious castle New Jerusalem, which can't be compared to any joy or happiness of this world, we can walk this path with joy and thanksgiving, not out of obligation. If you still find yourself with a true hope or a goal, or if your resolve for your goal has wavered or weakened, I urge you to make up your mind once again. Is our way of faith false or in vain? Is God not living? Have all the works of God at this church been false and fake? To talk about the appearances of circular rainbows on clear sunny days, are they just natural phenomena that worldly people always see? Are we making a big deal out of them? Do dragonflies naturally come to sit on people's body? Do they just naturally come to sit on our body and gives us joy? They are afraid of people. We need equipment to catch dragonflies. Because it's difficult to catch dragonflies with our bare hand. We need such equipment. But by God's work, in the senior pastor's space, we have overflowing testimonies regarding the dragonflies. They always appear in summer and gives us joy. Are all these fake and false? we have privilege. What about the restoration of eyesight? What about the restoration of eyesight happening among the church members in their 60s or 70s? They recover eyesight. Is it all false and fake? Never. The shepherd's power manifested at this church is true, and it demonstrates the living God who is always with us. It also serves as the evidence of Father God's loving and guaranteeing the shepherd. Yesterday, today, and until the day our Lord comes back, He will be with us. Our walk of faith towards New Jerusalem is also true. Before you came to church, you didn't know there are different dwelling places in heaven. I believe you could never imagine that there were different dwelling places in heaven. But the Bible tells us that Father God will pay us back according to what we've sown. And there are different levels of glory, like the sun, like the moon, and the stars. And, you know, the robber, the criminal, crucified right next to Jesus, he accepted the Lord as his Savior and died. Let's compare him to Apostle Paul. He's devoted himself all his life for the Lord. But let's say these two people live in exactly the same place in heaven. Would God be fair? No. He lived as a criminal. He did bad things while living in this world. But right before his death, he accepted the Lord as his Savior and got saved. While Apostle Paul devoted himself for the Lord all through his life, let's say they received the same kind of rewards in heaven, then who would work faithfully for the Lord? So Bible makes it clear that there are different dwelling places in heaven. This is the Word of God. It's not only taught in Manmin. So Father God created New Jerusalem. So your choice, your goal for New Jerusalem is the best choice. Once again, I urge you to solidify your hope and goal so that you will only overflow with joy and thanksgiving when our Lord comes back to take us, calling our names. Of course, it definitely requires us to make hard efforts to wholly fulfill our hope. To achieve final victory, we need to make hard efforts. Luke chapter 13 verse 24 says, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." Because sometimes we may feel lonely because we are walking on the narrow road. People may say, our Lord gives us hope and joy. Why should you walk on such narrow way? People who says like this, they are walking on wide road. But the Lord urges us to walk on the narrow path. And there are few people who walk such a way. But we are walking on a narrow road. And also, Revelation chapter 3 verse 11 says, "I'm coming quickly, hold fast what you have, so that no one will take your crown." Even after we are saved, even though we have hope for heaven, the enemy devil tries to take that hope away from us, so that we may have no hope. The enemy tries to turn all these things into nothing. They try to take away our faith. They give you tribulations, trouble, and causes you to lose grace and joy. So we have to be triumphed in all this in order to gain final victory. Let me tell you what kind of efforts is required for the final victory. To achieve the final victory, first, we need perseverance. Our walk of faith is the way of life and glory. But the glory won't be given us for nothing. It will be awarded to us as a result of our persevering in many hardships and trials. In Revelation chapter 3, we find that the Lord complimented the church in Philadelphia, saying, "You have the word, kept the word of my perseverance." Patience is one of the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. As we've learned from the spiritual love chapter, love is patient. Perseverance is essential in our journey to heaven. Our Jesus, who set a good example for us, fully accomplished God's providence by persevering through all the hardships and trials. The same goes for the people of God and the prophets in the Bible. Through many years of perseverance, they changed into people worthy of God's use. Nothing was done or achieved overnight. They persevered for many days. They lived dozens of years of perseverance. So we also need perseverance. First, we need perseverance for our spiritual change. For our spiritual change, we need perseverance. To achieve spirit and whole spirit, we should persevere and never get discouraged. Not just anyone can enter New Jerusalem, which is our final goal. Even among our fathers of faith, only a few of them qualify for it. But now, we boldly confess we can enter that glorious castle through the shepherd's teaching, sacrifice, and his fulfilling of the justice. To prove our confessions true, there have to be efforts, hard efforts. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, "You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin." If you truly make efforts to cast off sins and evil with your with prayer and fasting, none of you would just stay where you are. None of you would become stagnant. But if you fail to change yourself despite your efforts, it's because you didn't make constant or continuous efforts. You may have changed yourself to some extent, but because you stopped with your efforts, you went back to your what you used to be. Right after receiving God's grace, you cut off worldly things, diligently pray, and study the Word. Filled up with the Holy Spirit, you develop hope of entering New Jerusalem. After time passes a little, however, you still find yourself with old habits. And your friends also tempt you. But our change will become evident for sure. You can hold back your feelings in irritating situations. You have more things to pray about. You don't find it difficult to pray. This is the evidence of your change. Even though you have not had your major faith checked, if you have such changes in your lives, also your interest in worldly things gradually disappears. In the past, you used to take in worldly things without recognize. You used to speak bad words and curse. But nowadays, you have pangs of conscience when you do these things. This is the evidence of your change. Setting your mind on spiritual things, you begin to think, "Why would our Lord, what would our shepherd do?" Also, when you face trouble in your workplace, you pray like, "Father God, please help me. I'm the sheep of the shepherd, please help me." Then, God gives you wisdom and leads you onto the prosperous way. This is the evidence of your change and the demonstration of God's love. If you don't forget this grace, all of you must have such experiences in your lives, have you? Haven't you? If we don't forget this grace, but stay thankful, pray without ceasing, and pray in perseverance, we can change ourselves and come into spirit and whole spirit for sure. Sometimes we may see visible change, we may see drastic, dramatic change, but if there are not such dramatic or visible change, we may feel disappointed, and then go back to your old ways, and you may feel tired and weary and worn out. And we shouldn't live like this. We should cast off change of heart, which hinders our spiritual change. We shouldn't be nervous or anxious or impatient in our spiritual change. So, I reminded you that we also need perseverance when we pray. We have to check ourselves whether we pray continually. If you continue to pray, you can change yourself gradually, little by little. Even though it seemed that you never change, as for me, when I was a student, even when I prayed, it seemed like I never changed myself through prayer. But I kept on with prayer, believing that Father God listens to my prayer. As you keep on praying like this, after some time passes, you may find yourself having changed. I've also had such experiences. So, you need perseverance in prayer, and then you will surely change and achieve final victory. Perseverance is also required in receiving God's answers and fulfilling His will. Whether you are praying for our personal wish or praying according to God's will, we need perseverance as well. In the church's weekly bulletin, we have the Word of God entitled The Sowing and Reaping. According to the law of nature, we can also understand the spiritual law. In achieving God's work, in achieving, accomplishing God's great work, it's the same. If we sow with prayer, if we sow in faith, we need perseverance. We have to hope in faith. We have to show obedience. We have to bring joy to Father God. And we have to wait in faith. This is perseverance. Perseverance is to wait in faith and to do God's will while waiting for God's time. Whether you are praying for your heart's wish or praying for the church's ministry, we need perseverance. Even in accomplishing God's work or carrying out God-given duties, no matter how fervent or faithful we are, without perseverance, we cannot bear fruit. We may not comprehend God's will and His appointed time in our lives. The same went for our fathers of faith. Although God called Abraham and gave him the word of blessing, He didn't specify when He would give him His son. The year before Abraham finally gave birth to Isaac, Father God told him that He would give birth to a son next year. But before that, Father God didn't specify when He would give him His son. Because Abraham had kept unchanging faith in God until he got Isaac at age 100, he could see God's promise fulfilled in the end. During the Exodus, the Israelites expected they would enter the blessed land of Canaan soon. But contrary to their anticipation, God had them go through 40 years of trial in the wilderness. God had the Canaan land conquered by the second generation of the Exodus after the 40 years of trial. Moses didn't have any complaint about this. Even though he himself couldn't make it to Canaan, he perfectly obeyed God's will. As a result, the second generation could conquer the land of Canaan. Even though he couldn't make it to Canaan, but because of Moses' obedience, the second generation could conquer the land of Canaan. Without Moses, they couldn't have overcome 40 years of trial and conquered the land. All this was made possible by Father God's guidance. Moses didn't do things out of his own will. He just obeyed and brought joy to Father God. As a result, the second generation of the Exodus peacefully entered the land of Canaan. It was the case with Joseph as well, because he endured 13 years of trial with perseverance. He could see great glory in the end. But impatient people cannot wait for God's time. Even after they pray in faith, they grow impatient and anxious if things are not done right away. While they live by the word, if persecutions or troubles come their way, they persevere for a while and pray. With a nervous mind, they wait for the situation to change quickly. But if troubles last long, they speak words of complaint and abandon God's grace. This is not acknowledged as perseverance by God. They stop praying. So Father God cannot acknowledge this as faith or perseverance. To have perseverance is not just spend time idlessly. We have to show obedience and we have to stay joyful and thankful. This is how we should show perseverance. Through the word or prayer, they are inspired by the Holy Spirit and make some kind of resolution. But if things don't go according to their expectations, they are quick to give up, thinking this might not be God's will. Such individuals who lack perseverance cannot bear perfect fruit, no matter what they sow with fervent passion. They start with fervent passion, but they end up with nothing. Such people cannot achieve final victory. So you have to examine yourselves whether people may see you as a passionate person, but after a little while, that passion is gone. We may find such areas in our life of faith as well. We have to fix such areas. We have to keep our faith in God. And if you really believe in the everlasting afterlife, you have to stay patient and have perseverance. As Hebrews chapter 10 verse 36 reminds us, for you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. So after we do the will of God, it definitely requires us to have endurance until we receive God's promised blessing. Also, James chapter 1 verse 4 urges us, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If you spend the days of perseverance in joy and thanksgiving, you must have changed yourself a lot. And if you must have been successful in physical areas as well. We can apply this to our lives. If you really have faith in God and the shepherd, we have to stay joyful and thankful even in the situation the church is facing now. And you can expect what kind of glory will be revealed to us. And we have to show these. We have to change ourselves into better people. And we can also reflect on the blessings the Father has given us through the shepherd. We can also look back on the history of Ma Min. And you can find that Father God has been with us yesterday, today. It's not that the power in the handkerchief disappears. The Father God works the same yesterday, today. He also works with circular rainbows, thereby showing us that He is with us always. Like, as if, because senior pastor has spoken forth with the original voice, dragonflies are appearing as if they directly promised that they would appear. They may Father God is sending us dragonflies, as always. If you have faith in Father God's promise, you can stay patient and joyful and thankful. I urge you to look back, reflect on the blessings you have received. So don't get discouraged in this time, in this situation. And Senior Pastor has spoken forth with your original voice, and as a result, such works are still happening to us. So imagine what kind of things will unfold from now on. So we are, and we will see victory. So I challenge you to fight the good fight and achieve the final victory by believing that this time of perseverance will make you perfect. Secondly, to achieve final victory, we should look to the reverse. To describe the Apostle Paul's ministry, it was trial after trial after trial. He underwent a lot of hardships that could have caused ordinary men to give up. While the church is going through this situation, a senior pastor once told us that a senior pastor goes through, you know, senior pastor has gone through many hardships, and many years ago, senior pastor said, but my hardships are not as tough as this Apostle Paul's trial. But after that, a senior pastor has, but recently, he didn't say that because his suffering, his hardships were, I feel that he's going through such great trials and sufferings. And I believe that great works will happen. And Apostle Paul went through a lot of trials, went through a lot of tribulation for the glory of the Father, but he didn't complain. He didn't. Romans chapter 8 verse 18 assures us, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." This should be our confession as well. None of you are going through sufferings like those of Apostle Paul. You shouldn't complain. We have to look to the glory and rewards that we receive in heaven. Instead, we have to confess, "Father God, please strengthen me, empower me." No matter what kind of hardships we may face, we have to make such confessions. Even while the Apostle Paul suffered such tremendous hardships, he boldly confessed that his sufferings were no match for the glory in heaven. The reason he could make such a bold confession was that he directly saw the glory which would be revealed to him. And not long after he accepted the Lord, he saw the paradise of the third heaven. He saw the glory of heaven with his own eyes. As he came into deeper contact with the Holy Spirit, he learned the deeper secrets of heaven. He knew what kind of heavenly rewards he would receive for all his works. He knew how God would reward him for his sufferings. Because he had such firm hope, he didn't waver in any kind of hardships, but carried out his ministry to the end. So has our shepherd. Before and after this church was founded, he manifested God's great power. As the church had a great revival, he faced persecutions from the denomination and others. The enemy devil tried to hinder him any way they can. But with his firm faith and hope in heaven, he's boldly marched on in faith because he puts perfect trust in God who makes him victorious in any kind of persecutions or trouble, and because he looks to the heavenly rewards, and because he's filled with hope of leading numerous souls to heaven, he's been able to live so. you should also fill your heart with faith and hope like this. After this times of hardship is over, we will surely you will look so lovely to Father God. But let's say you have distrust, or if you have wavered, you have to repent before the time of blessing comes. So we have to, when Father God gives us blessings, there should be no obstacle. So we have, you have to solidify your trust so that you can, so trust that Father God sees you as beautiful, and believe that Father God has blessings in stock, and we have to keep running joyfully. You should also fill your heart with faith and hope. Even though you come to church, experience God's grace and His power, and make a resolution, the enemy devil tries to take away your faith. They tempt you with worldly things which are visible and tangible. But if you have hope in heaven and look to rewards which will be given to you, you can resist any kind of temptations. Rather than enjoying yourself for a while in this world and then regretting it for eternity, even if you take in the worldly things, even if you barely get saved, you will have no rewards. We have learned about New Jerusalem, and our shepherd has instructed us on the way to New Jerusalem. Let's say you have many beloved ones of Mom Min, you have your friends and you have your fellow members. They cut off the worldly things and finally they end up in New Jerusalem. But you end up in paradise and or first kingdom of heaven. You'll be so ashamed. Even though you miss them so much, when you meet them in person, you'll feel ashamed, you'll feel embarrassed, and you cannot share true love with them. Of course, there's no misery or sadness in heaven, but if you live like this in heaven, it won't be as good. We shouldn't live like this in heaven. Even if you've learned about New Jerusalem, if you don't, so we should have no regrets in heaven. We have to look to the glory which will be given us in the future. When you face temptations of the worldly things, think about this. If you take in the worldly things, will I not regret over this? If you think you will have a lot of regrets if you take in worldly things, so before you make any choice, we have to think whether you will have no regrets about that. But if you still have attachment to the world and lustful and fleshly things, you couldn't have firm hope in heaven. We are well aware of New Jerusalem. If we are filled with hope for New Jerusalem, it would be so easy to achieve final victory. You know, the Apostle Paul, even if you have to suffer many trials and many sorrow, you can make it. If you are filled with hope for New Jerusalem. But some people don't have such hope because they take in worldly things. When you are with the shepherd, when you praise to Father God, you are filled with hope for heaven. But out in the world, you again begin to take in worldly things. And then your faith and your hope will be taken away by enemy devil. Your hope and faith disappears. Even after you praise and were filled with grace, if you go back out in the world and take in worldly things, the enemy devil takes your faith and hope away. As God exhorts us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. We should quickly cut off worldly greed and lustful things. Once we get filled up with the Holy Spirit through fervent prayer, our hope for heaven never fades away. I urge you to look to the rewards in heaven. You have to pray, cut off the worldly things. You have to make such efforts. In doing so, you can think, what kind of rewards will Father God give me? With such thought, you can be filled up with joy. So you can go on in joy and thanksgiving. I challenge you to change yourself, stay faithful, and triumph over this evil world by fixing your eyes on the rewards which will be given you in the future. Let me conclude the message. Today, we've talked about what we should do for the final victory. First, we need perseverance, look to the heavenly rewards, and triumph over the world. Today's passage, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, is the confession of the Apostle Paul made before his martyrdom. He confessed this right before his death. He made that inspiring confession after devoting himself for the Lord all through his life. I hope that this confession will be your own confession as well. I hope that when we meet our Lord, we can all boldly confess, I have fought a good fight, the crown of righteousness is prepared for me. I pray that all the devotees and Mami members will stand before the pearly gates in New Jerusalem and say, all our efforts and toil were not in vain. Father God rewarded me with unimaginable glory. I hope you make such confession before the pearly gate.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.